Bros.
Football.
Bros.
Touchdown!
Hello, it's football season.
Fantasy football.
Give me a hell yeah!
This is fantasy.
Can the white guys use the term fam?
We are back at it. It is your fam on a Friday afternoon. Looking ahead to the weekend, there was no Thursday night football, but we got some Wednesday football to break down. I am Keith Irizarry. You know my guys, Alex Hardy, John Sells. What's up, fellas?
Keith Irizarry, definitely a bizarre week. Actually, the last couple, knowing that we had Thanksgiving a week ago, and then we have some Wednesday football. I know my guy's ready to dive in. So what's going on, John Sells?
Oh, living good. You know, Wednesday night football really throwing everything out of the loop, and somehow I ended up outside today. So that's how things are going today for the fam.
Isn't it nice being in SoCal? I mean, Keith, get out of here. Put on your winter coat.
Yeah.
Beautiful 70 degrees. Oh, you love it.
Mm-hmm. If I go outside, it's beanie and hoodie for sure. Maybe jacket as well. And more than likely, at least sweatpants. So let's discuss Wednesday night. There was no Lamar Jackson. We knew that. RG3, for all you bettors out there, cha-ching, threw a nice pick six early on that helped me out. What are your big takeaways from the Steelers and the Ravens on Wednesday?
Well, I'm looking for a cut of that check you got for cashing your bets, Keith. Other than that, the Steelers' offense is still predicated on passing the football. We thought that potentially with some injuries and COVID concerns on the Ravens' defensive line, we may see Benny Snell and Anthony McFarland in for James Conner, who has his own COVID concerns. That doesn't seem to be the case. But that being said, this is the tougher part of the Steelers' schedule. So looking at their pass receiving options, you can't start all three of them in the same lineup. I don't know if we need to re-rank these wide receivers, but moving forward, how optimistic are we about the Steelers? And then, of course, we'll talk about the Ravens like Lamar Jackson and J.K. Dobbins returning.
Well, real quick, I'm glad Alex just brought up J.K. Dobbins and Mark Ingram. I know the last time we spoke, there was a chance that those two were going to play, and I told you guys stay away from them. They ended up not playing. Gus Edwards took the train. But I have to admit that I have been wrong about someone on the Steelers wide receiver corps, and that is Chase Claypool. I am sorry, you TikTok legend. Ever since I said I was dropping and I was over Chase Claypool, he has put up five straight weeks of double-digit points. So for those who did not listen to me and kept Chase Claypool, congrats to you. And it looks like Juju's finally getting back into the passing game as well. But Chase Claypool, another week of at least nine targets. So he's going to continue to get his volume in that offense.
Yeah, you're right. Chase seems to be at least volume proof. He's going to be getting that volume 9, 13, 10, 8, and 9. I kind of liken this Steelers offense, at least the wide receiver trio, I will call them, to kind of akin to what we see in Indianapolis. It's roll the dice. You never really fully know which running back is going to be the lead dog in Indy. You don't know which wide receiver is going to be the lead dog. But here's the difference. Ben throws the ball about 30 times a game, which means those three wide receivers will be getting volume. Your numbers may not be matching that volume, but you're going to get volume means any of those guys can be in your lineups.
And we saw that to their benefit when they were playing the Cowboys, the Bengals, the Jaguars in back-to-back-to-back weeks. But with the short week for Washington, then they go at Buffalo. Trey White's going to cover one of those guys. Are we waiting until week 15, the second round of the fantasy playoffs, before we see all three of these wide receivers kind of bust out and show us big performances?
Yeah, Washington's going to be a tough one. Buffalo could be a tough one. You're right about the game against Cincinnati, which I have marked down as my survivor pick, assuming I'm still in that. And then I don't love week 16 against Indy.
Let's move to the Ravens. I think we play the Steelers matchups week to week, but I feel pretty safe with Chase Claypool or Deontay Johnson starting for me. Juju, I'm still on the fence with.
Yeah, a lot of question marks there. Still lots of question marks for Baltimore. We don't really fully know if Lamar Jackson will be back against the Cowboys in week 13. We assume J.K. Dobbins and Mark Ingram will be available there. Marquise Hollywood Brown, I checked it out, has been one of the most dropped wide receivers in all leagues this past week. So it's seemingly a situation where most people just don't believe in Baltimore's offense anymore.
Yeah, I don't believe in Marquise Brown either, but that running game is going to be interesting for me. The back to own is not Gus Edwards because he was the back to own for week 12 and still not a great performance production out of him when he had the entire backfield to himself. The running back moving forward has to be J.K. Dobbins for this Ravens offense.
So you mentioned that Marquise Brown has been the most dropped wide receiver. Now this leads me to bring up Dez Bryant. He is facing his old team revenge game, the Dallas Cowboys, who has allowed the most touchdowns to wide receivers. I believe it is 18. If Dez is still sitting there, if you didn't get him in the waiver wire, are we comfortable putting Dez Bryant in our lineups this week?
I am not. I am not putting Dez Bryant in my lineup, knowing that in one of my leagues, I need to get into the playoffs, and another one, I'm all set. No, thank you. I know we're going to talk about that league in just a little bit. When I get to some other headlines, though, how do we view Ezekiel Elliott against the Ravens? What do we view when we kind of pay attention to Miami, whether it's Tua or Fitzpatrick in the lineup? And then you kind of look at some of the other games across the landscape, and where are you looking at for most exposure? So let's go back to Zeke, Tua, Fitz. What are your takes on those?
As crazy as this sounds, you have to roll Zeke out there. He's still getting the touches. Yes, he may not be producing, but look what he did against Minnesota, over 100 yards. He could have that random breakout game. Now, unless you have a Jonathan Taylor on your bench or maybe another decent running back that you feel comfortable that's going to get you a touchdown, then maybe. But I still see no reason to bench Zeke here unless you have full confidence of someone on the bench that's going to come in and outscore him.
The Miami Dolphins offense, I mean, Tua and Fitzmagic, the biggest difference would be the interceptions. It's just, how do you prefer the Miami Dolphins to turn the football over? Fitzpatrick throwing a pick or Tua Tagovailoa turning the football down on downs? The biggest concern when it comes to the quarterbacks for me would be whether or not to play Devontae Parker. He's must start for me with Ryan Fitzpatrick under center. That's not the same case with Tua Tagovailoa. And moving on to the Detroit Lions, you mentioned DeAndre Swift. A quote from Adrian Peterson on Wednesday definitely caught me off guard, saying that Swift hasn't been himself while dealing with the concussion and hasn't had the same energy level, and that Swift needs to take care of his health. That's a little concerning to me. Beyond that, with the Lions offense, Kenny Golladay still hasn't returned to practice, and Marvin Jones is not the same deep threat he used to be. He's 94th among NFL wide receivers in terms of yards per route run, and that's definitely a concern if I'm looking for big play potential from Darrell Bevell and that Lions offense. Remember, Darrell, you can run the football from the 2-yard line. That's okay. Give the ball to beast mode next time.
So this is what concerns me, Alex. I'm glad you brought up the AP quote, because Darrell Bevell said Swift is clear to concussion protocol, will have a small package in the game plan. But if I'm listening to what Adrian Peterson says, I have no confidence at all this week putting DeAndre Swift in, and just thinking about him and his health, like, just keep him off the field, let him get healthy and better. I'm hearing two different things, and it just doesn't sound good for Swift right now, at least.
Yeah, from a human standpoint, we can sit here as well. I know it's a fantasy football podcast, but from a human standpoint, we'd like to see DeAndre Swift just get healthy and not risk anything long term. Guys, I want to get into exposure, whether it's DFS or even some season long. Is there a specific game that maybe you're targeting for the most exposure? John, you go first.
So I'm going to go Saints and Falcons. I'll just do a little run through real quick. Todd Gurley, redemption game, hasn't played. Last game he played was against the Saints before he got hurt. Michael Thomas torched the Falcons for over 100 receiving yards. Calvin Ridley coming off back-to-back double-digit points in fantasy. Julio Jones could be coming back, so look out for him. Latavius Murray, 31 touches in the last two games. And I guess there's a guy named Alvin Kamara who we've kind of mentioned, and maybe he will do something this week.
For me, it's got to be the Packers and the Eagles. This could be a disaster for the Eagles offense, but at the same time, if they want to get their running game established, we're talking about the Packers that has allowed the third most points to opposing fantasy running backs. And meanwhile, the Green Bay Packers offense is clicking. So if it's Devontae Adams, if it's Robert Tonyan at a thin tight end position, Aaron Rodgers I'll get to in a little bit. But I'd say from a pure volume standpoint, the Eagles and the Packers could both be scoring points in week 13.
I'm all in on the Browns and the Titans game. Obviously, Nick Chubb has been fantastic since returning from his injury. Over 100 yards in each of those games, 2 touchdowns, and ranking second in the league in rushing yards during that span, first in yards after contact. We can go on and on and on. Derrick Henry has kind of been, I would guess you would say, fantasy defense proof. He's just been dominant. A.J. Brown's been really good. And then Jarvis Landry looked like an NFL wide receiver last week, and he goes up against a Tennessee team that has given up the fifth most points to fantasy wide receiver. So kind of all in on that game.
And that'll be good for me because we're still waiting on A.J. Brown to practice this week for the Titans, but could be a big piece when it comes to my fantasy football team that will crush you, Keith, and keep you out of the postseason.
Okay. All right. Let's talk about this. I know it's a little self-serving, guys, but we've got the elephant in the room right now. If you all have been listening to this podcast long enough, you know that Alex, myself, and John are in the same league together. We've been in that league for, what, 4 years now? And we have all gone back and forth at each other. Sometimes I've beaten Alex. Sometimes John has beaten me. Blah, 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 blah. Well, I've had a bunch of injuries this year, and I've struggled. Alex has already clinched his spot in the postseason. John is currently in, but needs a win to be in. I need to win against Alex. John needs to lose, and then I'm in. And there is one other person in this league.
Shout out Felt Fanatic, our boy Open and Shut Gase, standing between you and the playoffs, Keith.
Yes. So if either John or Felt Fanatic loses, then I'm in the playoffs as long as I beat Alex. And Yahoo, where we play the league through, has Alex as about a 1.8 point favorite on me. John, how exciting will it be for you if you win this week, get into the postseason, but also know because of that, I'm out?
It will feel great, but I can't really talk because if I lose and you win and we have the same record, you still get in because you had more points than me. But remember, remember who actually beat you in the regular season head-to-head matchup.
A lot more.
So, I'm feeling okay because I know that's going to come back to bite me in the ass. So we're feeling confident. Another shout out to the Felt Fanatic. Hopefully you do your thing in Atlanta. Sell lots of merchandise. Don't focus on your fantasy team because we need you to not.
Now
we're rooting for Keith to go
because
to the
of
playoffs.
You.
Yeah, oh, so, I see how it is.
Well, no, because then that keeps all the pressure off of me.
So,
because if I win and you're out, that's great. Like, I'm going to love it. You'll never hear the end of it. But there's a good chance that if I lose, you'll still get in. So I just need it to happen for Open, Shut, and Gase and not me.
No, so
I just don't want to be the reason why you get in.
The best case scenario, I think, because I'm just a nice human being, would be that Felt Fanatic loses, I win, John wins, and all three of us are in the postseason. Now, Alex, I'm a lot nicer than both of you. With all that being said, is there any way that I could bribe you into, not winning this week?
With my role as the commissioner, I don't think now's the time for me to be taking bribes. You're a man of many talents and significant wealth, Keith Arizari. But there's a lot you need to do that would bring more joy to me than you missing out on the playoffs. So you're prepared to pay that handsome price.
I am
not. Handsome man.
Aww.
And I can't believe Keith would do that when you, Sir Alex Hardy, are fighting for the number one seed to be said that you are number one at the end of the season. So Keith,
I was just kidding.
We want Alex number one.
No, we don't. Anyway, I want to roll them dice. Brand new segment here as we roll into the potential playoffs. And I know that we all have things that we need to decide upon. I'm deciding on a QB situation. Lamar Jackson, do I hold out and hope that he plays? Or do I play the guy that I just picked up off waivers? And I'm thinking I'm going with Kirk Cousins. Over his last four games, look at his lines of 220 and three touchdowns, 292 and two touchdowns, 314 and three touchdowns, 307 and three touchdowns, averaging about 283 yards, nearly three touchdowns per competition, only one interception. So I believe I'm going to roll the dice and start Kirk Cousins, a name that I never thought that I'd be relying on in order to get into the postseason.
I rolled the dice last week, and you guys tell me how Kendall Hinton worked out. Exactly. So I'm going to go pretty chalky here, but I will say that it's not just about the thin position. Dallas Goedert is a flex play for me. 10 targets last week against Seattle. He's at least recorded 5 catches and 75 yards. He had a garbage time touchdown in week 11 against the Browns and nearly had a garbage time touchdown, which instead went to Richard Rodgers in the backdoor cover of the century for the Eagles. And I'd at least expect the volume for Dallas Goedert, and he's a flex play for me. I like me some Dallas Goedert. You know, I mentioned that Eagles matchup. Let's just hope for more points.
So I'm going to go over to New York here. A name we never thought that we would be saying at the beginning of the season that would be plugged in to win you a matchup, and the crucial part is Wayne Gallman. I mentioned him last time we spoke. 78 carries, 11 catches, 344 total yards with 6 touchdowns. Yes, the matchup with Seattle doesn't look too nice on paper, especially with Daniel Jones may not be under center, but Gallman's going to get his touches. Don't be scared. Devontae Freeman will not even see the field this weekend. Send Wayne Gallman in. He will win me and win you a game this week.
Gentlemen, I got some questions for you. Going to start each one with, are you willing to? Alex, are you willing to put Josh Jacobs in a lineup of yours with a bum ankle playing against the Jets?
Yeah, this guy's built different. He's played hurt pretty much all year. I don't really have any other options. I mean, Josh Jacobs is my RB1. I have to put him in, especially against the Jets.
Oh, man, I'm going to have to say no here. Yes, the matchup with the Jets is intriguing, but I don't know. With Josh Jacobs being a little inconsistent, ankle last week, 7 touches, didn't really like it. I think the Raiders are going to play a little bit more on the safe side, knowing what happened last year when Josh Jacobs had to miss the rest of the season due to an injury. So I think Devontae Booker goes full in this week. I think we let Jacobs rest, and we'll see him next week if all things trend upward.
I'm leaning towards no as well. I like Devontae Booker. I also think that you just see the burst for Jacobs seems to be gone over the last 2 weeks. Means he needs some rest, and this Raiders team needs to make the postseason. So Josh Jacobs will not be in my lineup. How about, are you willing to play Cam Newton in a lineup knowing he has an ab issue going up against the Chargers, John?
No, not at all. Cam's just kind of been very up and down for me, and he's facing a Chargers team who barely allows 200 passing yards. And with Cam, who mostly gets his yardage on the ground, and Cam, what I am looking at, has only had 2 games over 200 yards. And with that ab injury, I'm staying away from Cam Newton.
You don't look at Cam Newton's passing totals, but his rushing attempts are down, and the Chargers' stout defense is going to have him on his heels all day. I'm pretty sure, Keith, you told me that I needed to have Cam Newton in my lineup last week. That did not come to fruition. Well, yes, it came to fruition, but it didn't come to any scoring. So I'm off on Cam Newton.
Yeah, Cam ended up with just about 6 points, depending on your league scoring. I'm with you guys. There's got to be a better option than Cam. Here's the toughest question of the day. Are you willing to bench Alvin Kamara because Taysom Hill is still at quarterback? Alex Hardy.
No, it's Alvin Kamara. I mean, any swing pass can go for an 80 yard scoop and score. Like, I'm not benching that big play potential. You can't make me do it.
Alex, I'm with you. I'm going no. I know there's just 2 targets in the last 2 games and only the 1 catch, but Alvin Kamara is arguably the most electric running back in the NFL. I would be kicking myself if he was on my bench and had a Kamara day. As something that my buddy Jeff Ratcliffe says on Tops, dance with the player that got you there. I'm going with Kamara.
Okay, call me crazy here, but there's only one situation I'm not playing Alvin Kamara. And if you guys can guess it, it's only because I would have Latavius Murray. I would only swap him out. I would not bench Alvin Kamara if I'm not putting Latavius Murray in for him. So you guys have hit it, the nail on the coffin. Alvin Kamara's got that big play potential. Ride with what you got. And unless you got Latavius Murray and you're feeling that confident, unless you're an Alex Hardy where you've clinched the playoffs already and
nope.
You want to see what
nope.
happens, then
it's Keith week. Nope. Not taking it easy.
All right, let's go to some DFS lineups. We call it gold and silver as well as bronze. I'll go first. Davante Adams is my gold, continues to be there. He scored at least 1 touchdown in 6 consecutive games in Philly. They are middle of the pack against wide receivers. Let's throw it out there. As good as Darius Slay had been, if he travels with Adams, we saw he just got touched up by DK Metcalf. Give me some Adams.
Yeah, and Aaron Rodgers is throwing the football to Davante Adams. That's why he's my gold DFS quarterback.
I'm going James Robinson versus the Vikings. They've allowed 382 yards per game. That's 9th in the league. And Mr. Robinson, averaging 100 scrimmage yards, has recorded 8 touchdowns in 11 games. And remember, Zeke just torched the Vikings defense, so expect Robinson to do the same. And let's keep it rocking on the silvers. I'm going to go with one of my Ram boys here, Robert Woods against the Arizona Cardinals. That defense is in the bottom 10 against opposing wide receivers, and Woods has at least recorded 88 yards in three of his last four games. Expect him to have 100 yards receiving this weekend.
The Indianapolis Colts are getting Jonathan Taylor back off of the COVID list. Without Taylor in the lineup, Nyheim Hines, Jordan Wilkins combined for 61 total yards against Tennessee. Nyheim Hines just isn't anything other than a change of pace running back. He has had 61 carries so far this year, and he hasn't rushed the ball more than 15 yards. That's the most attempts without a big play out of any running back in the NFL. Meanwhile, the matchup against the Houston Texans, they've allowed 1,500 rushing yards on the season. Jonathan Taylor is going to remind the Colts offense what they've been missing this past week.
So the Bears are bad at football, and the Bears are not efficient. But David Montgomery continues to be a volume guy, and last week went over 100 yards, had 25 PPR points, at a 38% touch share. And David Montgomery on the season has the ninth highest opportunity share in the NFL. And oh, by the way, as bad as Chicago is, Detroit is even worse. John mentioned Denzel Mims earlier as being someone that could kind of screw things up for Jamison Crowder. And I like him as a bronze pick this week against the Raiders. The last 3 weeks is 23 targets and over 100 air yards per competition. Give me some Mims.
I like this matchup too, Keith. You mentioned the Browns and the Titans. Corey Davis for me with A.J. Brown missing practice yesterday. Meanwhile, on the Browns side of things, Denzel Ward yet to practice. And my new favorite name in football, Sheldrick Redwine, was limited. So a banged up Browns secondary, A.J. Brown banged up. Fire up Corey Davis against the Browns.
Red, red wine.
All right, we already teased him here, but Latavius Murray, in the past four games, he has touched the ball 55 times with two touchdowns. Not the prettiest matchup against the Falcons, but for a bronze pick, the volume will be there for you to take a shot.
The holiday had us off on Friday, so just a quick recap from week 11, the Chargers and the Jets ended up being the winner. Alex, Mike Williams, 17.2. Keenan Allen for John at 16 points. Hunter Henry at 14.8 for me. The first time this season, all three of us were in double digits. But still, alas, I am the loser from week 11. So, guys, I took a look at the favorites for the week, and there are four double-digit favorites. So I want to roll with the Vikings. We haven't used them yet this year. 10-point favorites over the Jaguars. Alex, you're up first.
I guess I have to go Dalvin Cook. I know the ankle concerns are there, but if he plays and he's not my prop bet pick, I'll be pretty upset. So give me Dalvin Cook.
We're going to go full in on Justin Jefferson here. Top 15 fantasy score for wide receivers. Yes, Adam Thielen's back. Expect him to go off for me.
I was hoping you were going to leave Justin Jefferson for me. I guess that means I get Adam Thielen. I noticed his prop total is at 16.5 on certain sites. So I feel kind of good about Adam Thielen. With that being said, remember, download the Fantasy Football Podcast. We're available in the iTunes Store, Spotify, wherever else you get your podcasts. Up next, we will recap week 13. Also, look forward to week 14, set you up for your league playoffs.
Playoffs, baby. Playoffs.
Gentlemen, I like Saturdays, all right? I think Saturdays are fun. Sundays are the best day of the week, I think. But, John, you disagree. What's your favorite day?
Well, at the way the NFL schedule is going, Keith, we may have a game on a...
It's Friday. We got to get down on Friday. It's a big week, so we got to get a win. Alex. We need a win from Alex. Enjoy your Friday so you can get ready for the weekend. Party and party. Friday. It's gonna be a fun weekend.